This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Labor, was delivered on September 1st, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Beautiful. Thank you. What a wonderful song. Every time I think about that song, I think about my wife because she could dance hula to that song. And I was trying to get her to dance, but she go, you know who else can dance? She go, Roxy. It's like, next time. I think Roxy's planning something for later on this year, yeah? Whew. Such a beautiful day. I can see all of you trying to cool off. We you know, the money is there for the air conditioning, but it's in your account still, yeah? Just kidding. Whew. Man, Labor Day weekend is, how many of you have tomorrow off? How many of you got to work? Oh, we're going to pray for all of you who got to work, man. You know, Labor Day, we're supposed to labor, right? I went labor yesterday. I went labor so hard, my back was sore after I went labor. And my wife, too, you know, she went labor. I think you guys was praying for her because she washed her car. Wow. It's like, wow. And then she not only washed your car, she helped me wash the other car. And not only that, she helped wipe it dry. And I was like, wow, somebody's praying for her. Yeah. You know, hey, you know, this is what I heard this week. Can you believe that? I heard it's like 17 weekends before Christmas. Oh, I know, yeah. Oh. Yay, Christmas is great. So you got 17 weekends to plant the seeds in your worker, your co-workers, your family and friends, that the harvest is coming and that we're going to reap a harvest in Christmas time, all right? So 17 weekends, not because like, oh, I got to get Christmas gifts. Yay, because I get to go share Jesus with my friends. Amen. Hey, I got a call the other week, and one of the persons that I first met when I came to this island was dying. And every time I would see this guy, I would always invite him to church and say, no, not now, not now. So his sister called me and said, he's dying. And he said that you know what he wants for his funeral. And I was like, I really? Because he never told me. So, but I went to go and pray with him and hoping he could still hear me. And I prayed the salvation prayer and I hope that he can, because, man, it's so sad that people are dying without Jesus. And we just got to get them all saved. Amen. Whew. Well, Labor Day weekend is here. It's like, can you believe it's September already? Man, I remember working since I was like 15 years old. I used to ride my bicycle to work. And those of you who are here for many years, you can hear this story over again. I was 15 years old. I rode my bicycle to work at the gas station. I made $2.90 an hour pumping gas. You can see my age, yeah, now. That was the minimum wage, $2.90. It's unheard of now, yeah? I don't think, if somebody offered you $2.90, you'd probably just say, I'd rather stay home. But, yeah. But the job that I get to do now as the pastor of this church is by far the longest job that I ever had. And the best job I ever had, the hardest job I ever had, and the most fulfilling job I ever had. And you know what? I love it. You know, from 15 to probably 65 or more, I will be working. And that's like 50 years of labor. And that's like more than half my life if I live up to 100, right? And if I get to retire, which I read in the Bible about ministers and stuff like that, there's no mention the word of retirement in the Bible. So you guys might be stuck with me till I die or till you die, right? And it's like, and, you know, being that a lot of us work for more than half our lives, unless you were the smart ones, who became a fireman or a policeman when they were young. And notice those guys who got into the fire department or the police department at 20 And then 25 years later, they retire. And you're looking like, you're kidding me. You're not even 50 and you retired. Those are the smart guys. Well, I wasn't that smart, okay? I was kind of cruising through life until I got married. Then I realized, I got to work now. I got to get one real job now. I got to take care of my wife. And my wife likes to shop, so I got to work. Right? And not mainly that, but mainly I like to eat, so I had to work. But, you know, the job that I have now is wonderful. It's challenging. It's full of ups and downs. But the good thing, you know, I love my job. You know, it's not easy. The weddings, the baby dedications, that's the part of my job that brings a lot of joy. You know, uniting a couple and, you know, that's just brings so much joy. Baby dedications, brand new life. You know, the hospital visits are harder and the funerals are harder. But those things are the most fruitful because I get to plant seeds. I get to ask people if you know Jesus and I get to pray with them. And it's the hardest but the most fruitful. So it brings me much joy. You know, you may think I'm sick because, you know, going to funerals and stuff like that, but I think every time the mortuary calls me looking for a pastor to do a funeral, if I am free, I will go because I believe God gives me that opportunity and because that's what I do. Some of you said, I don't want to call you in the middle of the night because I might be sleeping. I mean, so what? That's what I do. That's what God called me to do. So if you have an emergency in the middle of the night, you know, by all means, call me. I would want to know. There was many times I'd go to the hospital in the middle of the night. Doesn't matter. I have trained myself from the time I get up to the time I can be out the door, 10 minutes. Pretty good, yeah? Good thing I don't have to put on makeup. And good thing I don't have to, my hair right now, I don't have to brush it. It just stays like this. But that way I can get to the families at a faster time to minister to them. You know, a lot of us will work for a great part of our life. And, it, you know, it kind of makes sense to enjoy what we do so that we can do what we enjoy. The secret to enjoy what we do and do what we enjoy, I think it has to do with a lot with your attitude. Even like your home, it makes so much sense to live in peace with your neighbor. Don't you think so? Because you pay upwards of $1,000 a month for a mortgage or for rent. And if you don't like your neighbor and you don't like going home, it's going to be miserable. So it makes sense, like the Bible says, as far as it depends on you, live with peace with all men. And it's just like at work. You know, everybody's workplace got those people who bring out the worst in you. You ever have those who just know how to push your buttons or who knows how to get away with doing the least amount possible? And as I said, your home, your job, wherever you go, you love it, you hate it, and I think it depends on your attitude. Like I said in many of my sermons, all the jobs that I had before Christ was miserable, was terrible. The boss was bad, everything. Then it came to the point when I received Christ and I realized and I looked back, wow, the common denominator was me. And so all those bosses probably was good, but it was then other jobs after I became a Christian, no matter how mean they were, it was terrific. I loved going to work. But what got me through that was reading my Bible every day before I went to work, because I knew if I didn't read my Bible, I'd be in a lot of trouble. And I think God allowed that season in my life so that I could get stuck and hooked on reading his word. If you have your Bibles, open it up to Ephesians. How many know where Ephesians is? In the New Testament, after Yes, before. There you go. Look at it. Somebody is good. Ephesians chapter 6. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 5. I'm going to be reading from the Message paraphrase, so it might be a little bit different. It says, servants, we could say employees, respectfully obey your earthly masters or your employers, but always with an eye to obeying the real master, Christ. Don't just do what you have to do to get by, meaning the minimum, but work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do, and work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God. Good work will get you good pay from the master, regardless of whether you are slave or free. Masters, so employers, it is the same with you. No abuse, please, no threats. And you and your servants are both under the same master in heaven. He makes no distinction between you and them. All right, so we don't have slaves and masters these days, but we have employees and employers. Someone once told me this, work the way you get paid, minimum. Oh, what a bad attitude, yeah? I mean, I thought, I was like, oh, that's lousy. I ain't listening to that advice. What if you get paid the way you work? Would you get paid more or would you get paid less? Our labor became harder because of sin. If you read in the Old Testament, in the garden, Adam enjoyed taking care of the Garden of Eden until sin changed things. Do you think about your job, your work, as a necessary evil? Like, oh, I gotta go to work because I gotta pay the bills. Or I think, like, I get to go to work because I get to pay my bills. You know, our labor became harder because of sin. And the new norm seems to be get paid more for doing less work. Yeah, you see that? Some of your who are employers might see that. Remember what Anthony Stanley said in one of his sermons? Your irresponsibility becomes someone else's responsibility. So doing less to the idea someone else is going to have to pick up that slack. Some of us choose to be employers rather than employees. You know, so this, here's the deal. In America, labor and management, they seem to be enemies, yeah? Labor wants the most money for the least work, right? And management wants the most work for the least money. You don't think so? And this kind of creates a hostile relationship. You know, when you were a little kid, how many of you had chores? And how many of you got paid for your chores? Yeah, I got like 25 cents a week. Am I sounding old? Am I sounding old? Hey, that's not old, because I remember they delivering milk to my front porch. How's that? I am as old as dirt. So nowadays, our kids, they don't want to do chores, but they want an allowance. Yeah, right? I see our youth back there. They're not paying attention to me. They're just like ignoring me because they want allowance without doing chores. So are we raising a generation that doesn't want to work? I hope not, because this is what will happen. Proverbs 6, 10, and 11. And this is for people who really values too much sleep. How many of you? I say sleep is overrated. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest bang. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. So next time you think about sleeping in and calling in sick instead of going to work, oh, remember this scripture. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Bang! Poverty will jump upon you like a thief. So how do we change our attitude when things at work are not favorable, very hostile, unchristlike? Like I said, I've been to some of your workplaces and I see what you got to go through, and oh boy, it just makes me want to pray for you more. And if you want me to come to your workplace, I will come to your workplace. I will get dirty and I will work with you if you want. I did that with Dion. I had fun pouring cement and getting all dirty. Like I say, man, anything to get me out of the office, I will go. Yeah. And I worked with Dion's crew. Why? Because I wanted to see what he works with. And I wanted his work to see that, hey, I'm a normal guy. So when he invites them to church, they say, he's not a weird kind of a guy. He's normal. Even though he worked a little bit slower than the rest of us, because seriously, I am just way, way, way out of shape. Even though they say round is a shape, I am out of shape. Okay? I'm not in shape. But round is a shape, so I might be in shape. But so I went to work, and I would go work with some of you if you want me to, if they would allow it, and see what you guys got to go through. Then that way I know how to pray for you, because some of your workplaces are just nasty. And I've been there, and I've done that. And as I look at that, it's like, wow. I've been there, and I worked at a difficult place with a difficult boss, with coworkers who cussed and swore, and kind of a like really perverted kind of thing that they say. And I mean, been there, done that. I probably was one of those. And what got me through working in that situation was, like I said, getting up and reading my Bible and not leaving home without it, because God allowed that to happen so that I would get into His Word. My newfound joy in life came from God, not from my boss, not from my coworkers, but came from God. And no matter how bad my boss treated me, when he would walk in that room and he would say, "Shiroma," everybody's head went down. It's like, oh, he'd go get it again. And that's what it was like. Everybody's head went down, like, or they just dug out, left the room. But didn't matter, because my joy now came from the Lord. And my attitude came from knowing that when I do my job, I'm not doing for that guy, which I could call many different names, if you know what I mean. But my joy came from working because for the Lord. But this is what the Bible said about having to labor. Number one, 6 days you labor. 6 days. How many of you work five? How many of you work four? Yeah, some of you work four. Some of you work five. We complain. How many of you work six? Yeah, so all those six guys, you guys are following what's biblical. Because it says 6 days you work. The other guys, well, I work whenever my phone rings, no matter what. That's what it is. But normally it's five. But sometimes it's six. And whatever, the 6 days you shall labor and do your work. And what we do on the seventh day? Rest. How many of you rest? Yeah. Sorry, can I raise my hand? My honey-do list is too long. Just kidding, honey. Exodus 22:12. 6 days you are to work, but on the seventh day you shall cease from your labors so that your ox and your donkey may rest. And the sons of your female slave, as well as your stranger, may refresh themselves. So the Bible says we work six, we rest one. Exodus 31, for 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. How many of you would be put to death if you was living in the Old Testament? Yes, a lot of us, yeah. Yeah, doctor, you'd be first because you work 8 days a week and 55 hours a day, I think. So many times in the book of Exodus, it tells us to work for 6 days. Not five, but six. Yeah. So if you work 5 days, and only 5 days, be thankful. If you work 4 days, be extra thankful. If you work 4 days, go find 2 days someplace to go volunteer. So the guys who work 6 days, maybe can take 1 day off. Not gonna happen, right? Number two, work with the right attitude. How many of you know that's important? How many of you rather work with somebody with a great attitude or bad attitude and good skills? Good attitude? Yeah. I would rather have to work with somebody who is clumsy with a great attitude versus somebody who is very skilled but just negative and just grumpy, bad attitude. And oof. No, I think we all rather have that attitude. So if you think about it, think about your employer, what they think of you with the attitude thing. Colossians 3:22, servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters. And don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God. Confident that you'll get paid in full when you come to your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. See, being Christians doesn't cover up bad work. How many of you employers had to tell your employees, go do it again? How many of you had to tell your children, wash that dishes again? It's not done right. You know, your children are sitting back there. They're watching you raise your hand. How many of you have been told, do it again? How many of you have been told, if you're going to do the job, do it right the first time? I've been told that because I was not what this scripture said before. How do you work when the boss is right there with you? I mean, work. Or when the boss is not there, oh, smoke break. 10 minutes later, oh, smoke break. Oh, you know, I got to go bathroom. Oh, you know, I got to go drink water. I'll come back. I'll go, you know. How is it when they're not there? Is it the same when your boss is not there? Is it better? I'd like to work harder when my boss is not there to show them that I can do the job. So you don't need to be here. You know, we always need to remember the ultimate boss, Jesus. We need to do our job as employees and employers as though Jesus is present at all times because he really is. Number three, we work so we can share. Ephesians 4:28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. You know, every week we have people who share and they bring food because they work and they have a little bit extra to share. So when you eat, you say, wow, thank you. And if you want to share, you can always jump on one of our teams to cook food because I know we all love to eat. Amen? Now, when they read he who steals, now stealing is like a really harsh word. But maybe we don't steal from our employer, but maybe we steal time by shopping on Amazon, you know, when nobody's watching. Or, you know, we may steal time on our cell phone, you know. Now, as a Christian employee, I always like to give more than I take. I would always like to go in early and stay late. I wanted to be known more as a giver than a taker. And the Bible says it's more blessed to give and receive. If an employee can get by with doing half donkey work, he has no right to do so because he works for the Lord. Amen? Who do we share it when we work? Who do we share it? We share with our neighbor. We share with our family, our friends. We share with your church. We share with missionaries. We share with, the Bible says, the least of these, whoever God put in your heart. As an employee or employer, what mark are you going to leave on each other? Will it be scars, or will it be like the imprint that Jesus was here? Close with this, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. This is really harsh. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. Is anyone not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. Oh, that's rough, yeah? I guarantee I'll be working all day, all night, because I love to eat. We're going to take communion now. You guys ready? I went to the store this morning. I came back, and I realized I forgot the grape juice. I had to go back again. Yeah. I think I'm in my older age, getting forgetful. But Jennifer is going to lead us in communion. Would you welcome Jennifer? Yeah. I love her shirt. This is pray, believe, and receive. Go ahead.
Good morning. So while the ushers are passing out the elements, I just wanted to share a small story with you folks. So like my husband mentioned a couple weeks ago, our daughter Genesis, most of you know her, and the one that has the really fuzzy hair that we can't control no matter what we do. She has a laundry list of health issues that my husband and I both take turns going back and forth to Honolulu for with her. So this past week, it was my turn. I took her to get a small procedure done on Thursday. We flew up on Wednesday because she takes an MRI of her brain and full spine every year, and Wednesday was that time. So we got to the hospital Thursday for her surgery, and the specialist she was seeing went over briefly just some of the results that we had from the MRI, and I think sometimes we just get so comfortable with things remaining the same and nothing changing. But the specialist did tell us that Genesis has a tumor on her left cerebellum in her brain. So this we found out 2 minutes before they're wheeling her off into surgery. So as you can imagine, I was at a lot of questions and not so many answers because that wasn't the specialist we needed to see. She was a totally different doctor. I have all these questions, and I look down at Genesis, and I just see her smiling, and without no care in the world, and I just looked at her, and I just got this sense of peace. And as a mom, you know, when something's wrong with your kid, that's really hard to find. She went into her surgery, and I found a quiet spot, and I just prayed, and I asked God to give me peace and comfort and understanding, and not knowing what the future holds. We're going to fly up this Thursday and meet with her neurologist to find out what the next steps are. But even not knowing what the next steps are, we're choosing to just have trust and believe that Jesus can do anything. And on the night that Jesus died, the night before he died, he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that he would be beaten. He knew that he would be in pain. He knew that he would suffer. But he chose to stay steadfast in Christ and to do what he needed to do. So on the night that before he passed, he took some bread. He gave thanks for it. And he broke it. And he shared it with the disciples he was with. And he said, take this bread and do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead and take up the bread. On the same night, he took a cup of wine after he supped, and he said, take of this cup and drink in remembrance of me, and remember the new covenant that was made when my blood is shed. Go ahead and take of the cup. Can we bow our heads and pray? Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you for your Son who died on the cross to relieve us of our sins and our trespasses. Father, we just ask your guidance and your comfort and your peace in the days to come. We ask this in your most precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Jennifer. Would you keep Genesis in your prayers this week? You know, some of you have the rest of the day and tomorrow off. I want you to please be safe. Watch out for those guys on the motorcycles driving around. I like when I'm in traffic next to them. I like the sound, the rumbling. It's like, but just have a safe weekend. All right? And always remember what Jesus did for you, and that's why we take communion. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're gonna sing a song. Thank you for sharing you guys' band with us. If you want to introduce them, go ahead.
We have Erin Kubo. We have Dennis Ida. I know you have Charlie and Shane Kevin. I want to thank them because I know they put much hours into practicing the music because it was all new to them. So praise God.
Been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keao, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.